Good morning, church.
Morning.
Today's reading is from Psalm 56, and it's page 576 in the church Bibles. Psalm 56. Be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All day long they twist my words. All their schemes are in my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life. Because of their wickedness, do not let them escape. In your anger, God, bring the nations down. Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back. When I call for help, by this I will know that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise. In the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can man do to me? I am under vows to you, my God. I present my thank offerings to you. For you have delivered me from death, and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before you in the light of life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Morning. Is that working? Yeah? Great.
Hello.
Great. Please do keep your Bibles open there. We're going to be Psalm 56. Next week we're doing Psalm 57, and then after that we're going into the book of Acts for the summer. So we've done some Acts previously, so we'll be coming back and finishing Acts off over July and August. So that's the plan. Well, let's pray and ask for God's help as we come to his word, shall we? Let's pray. Father God, you are very kind to us in so many ways. You've been given us the Lord Jesus Christ. But as you give Jesus, you speak to us. And we pray, Father, you give us hearts and minds which are ready to receive from you this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Well, life is lived with many different emotions and feelings bubbling around, isn't it? Whether that be joy, love, contentment, or it might be some of the darker ones. Distrust, hatred, envy. Sometimes joy perhaps is on the surface and it's there for everyone to see, and you can tell if someone's joyful. Other times, it's hidden deep in our soul. That can be true for many emotions, can't it? But one emotion I would suggest is never far from the surface. It lives behind many of the doors in our lives. Is that of fear. Fear of failure. Fear of pain. Fear of losing your freedom. Fear of loneliness. Perhaps even the fear of other people. Well, God this morning is saying, he squares up to fear and says, bring it on. Because fear, and particularly fear of other people, is something that God wants to help drive away from our lives. For sons and daughters of his beloved children to not be scared of fear. And to do this, Psalm 56, it takes us to the life of King David, and he describes a mighty battle that is about to take place. And our first point this morning, a mighty battle is set, and it's the battle between fear and God. Or even more specifically, actually, between fear versus God's words. Please look with me at Psalm 56. It's on page 576 in the Church Bibles. And in those very first words, those ones in small print, at the beginning, for the director of music, to the tune of a dove on distant oaks, of David, a Migtam, when the Philistines had seized him in Gath. Now, these little titles, I mean, quite a lot of the Psalms, if you just cast your mind over the pages, Psalm 57, Psalm 58, you can see those little things. And those small words there, they're actually part of the original. David, because this is a Psalm of David, he'd have written those words. And here, we get told the music it was set to. And this Psalm would originally, it would be sang in the temple. Now, that music's been lost, and actually sometimes we sometimes say a psalm, like actually we sang Psalm 23 this morning, didn't we? So it's good to sing the psalms, it's good for our souls. Part of the original. But if we just flick forward, say to, say hello, 965, to Matthew chapter 1. Keep your fingers in Psalm, we'll be back there very shortly. Just flick forward to 965. Matthew chapter 1. And there at the top, right under the top of the above one, above the big chapter one, it says the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah. Now I just want to make something clear. That bit was not part of the original Bible. Right? That's been added by modern day translators to sort of help us get a handle on where we are in a big bunch of texts to give little summaries of what's about to come next. And that's helpful. But it's not God's word. But back in the psalm, those aren't just headings. They're part of the original God's word. And if you want to know what the technical name, theologically, is, it's superscriptions. There's no need to remember that, but you might be interested. So here in Psalm 56, we have the tune, which they're sang to. And we're told this is of David. David, the king, who as a younger man had beaten Goliath. And would later reign as king under God and God's own might. And God blessed him mightily. But here, he's in trouble. Particularly at the city of Gath, a city that belonged to Israel's archenemies, the Philistines. And at that point, we could have a few pantomime boos and hisses. But that makes the enemies sound comedic. And they definitely weren't funny for David's. So we've got the general scene is set. But then we come to verse 1 and a few particulars. Please look with me at verse 1. Be merciful to me, my God. For my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. At this point, David is being pursued. The chase is on, if you like. And this isn't a one-off charge. David's enemies are persistent all day long. They pursue him. The Philistines are putting the squeeze on David as if you're squeezing the juice out of an orange slowly but surely. And these words are of straightforward, plain and simple fear. David is scared. And just in case you think I'm reading this into it, look at verse 3, please. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. He was scared. So that's the army on one side of the battlefield. The army of fear. But who's staring across the battlefield at the other side? Well, the answer is in verses 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and I'm not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? On the other side of this battlefield is God. In fact, it is God, but the psalmist also particularly focuses on God's words. And God's words do amazing things. David, who was scared to the very core of his being, can now say, what can mortals do to me? Now, we need to pause here because something astonishing is happening. The enemies are still there. They're still after David, yet trusting God, praising God's word, that drives away the fear. Picture an Iranian church pastor at home. His wife and young family gathered in his arms, knowing that the secret police are coming. That prison certainly awaits, and perhaps even worse. He's scared for himself, for his family, for the little church that he pastors. The heavy footsteps can be heard coming up to the door. It bursts open and the fear is gone. How is that possible? I don't know about you, but I think that. And these first four verses are setting up the battle lines. Fear versus God and his word. And we should be left thinking, David, how's this possible? Like, are you more spiritual than I am? How is it possible for that fear to evaporate? How does that work? And it is hugely relevant to us. I mean, I hope you haven't got a bunch of thugs coming up to your front door this afternoon trying to beat it down. But we all have people that we fear, don't we? Even those of us who come across as hard as nails, and that's me, obviously. But you know, you may fear family, or someone in your family who with just a couple of words can turn your life into a mini hell. You may fear that boss at work who has got you in his or her vice grip, and that threat of redundancy looms over you and your team. You fear that friend who is antagonistic towards Christians and can sour relationships with others in your within your friends. And let's be honest, friends are not easy to come by, are they? Not real ones. The fear of losing friends can be real. And the question for us is the same as the psalm. Can God and his word drive away these fears? Is this real? And that brings us to our second point this morning. A mighty battle is won because God and his word triumphs. Please look with me at verse 5. All day long they twist my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life. See, this fear isn't just physical, is it? The spin doctors are out. They're twisting David's words, making him sound unreasonable. He's that religious nutter. I mean, there's plenty of people out there today, isn't there? Especially in the media, who want to do the same to Christians. Some of them plotting harm. The psalmist knows this is a war of words. And that David's life, by the end of verse 6, is in danger. They're shooting to kill, hoping to take my life, it says. And these verses are the same effect as verses 1 and 2. David has something to be scared about. He's not overreacting, and we've all seen people overreact. That's not the situation here. But then we jump to verse 10. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I trust, and I'm not afraid. What can man do to me? Now, these words are not identical to verses 3 and 4, but they're very similar. God and his word are taking centre stage, and fear is being driven away. But you may have noticed I jumped a few verses. And verses 7, 8 and 9, if you like, unlock how this battle against fear is won. Please look with me at verse 7. Because of their wickedness, do not let them escape. The psalmist is confident that God's enemies, his enemies, will not escape God's anger. Now here, the psalm speaks of nations, a reference to the Philistines who are after David. Now maybe it might even be also including Israel, because at this point, Saul, the king of Israel, was also after him as well. The enemies of God's people, the enemies of God himself will face God's anger. God has said it will happen. And this isn't the type of anger where he's flying off the handle. We've all seen that, perhaps we've even done it. I know I have sadly at times. Instead, this is God's perfect anger. Knowing in details the circumstances that your enemy attacked you in. Knowing the pressures of what was going on inside your enemies, even what's inside their hearts. And with all that perfect information, God expresses righteous and just anger against the enemies of David, against all God's enemies. And not one incident of persecution or injustice will be overlooked. Verse 8. Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? God has seen every one of David's tears. Every one of your tears. Even those times when you wanted to cry but you held it back. They're recorded. I mean, there won't be an admin error here, or a lost in the post excuse, or the internet hack to modify the records. When it comes to God's righteous anger falling on the enemies of God's people and of God himself, it's God's scroll. God records it, and no one is going to change it. So let's stand back for a moment. We've got fear brought on by God's enemies on one side. Then we've got on the other side, God and his word driving away that fear. And we think, how is that possible? Now, we could make some wild guesses, couldn't we? Or we could just look at the answer that God has given us. God's certain word of divine justice on God's enemies. That's the key. The promise of perfect justice drove away the fear for David. It drove the fear away from him, even while he was under attack. And it can for us as well. Now, everybody longs for justice, don't they? Especially when it's people who are unjust and we don't like them very much. Whether that be an acquaintance who was a pig to his wife, or a businesswoman who's on the fiddle. I don't know if you heard the story about a guy who was swapping number plates on his luxury cars so he could avoid parking fines. He was caught and he was fined a bunch of cash. Probably not fined enough as far as I'm concerned, I don't know. When we see justice done, it is good. And we feel it even more against people who have hurt us and have worked against us personally. Who are in some sense acting like your enemy. Do not fear their deeds, their plots, the evil inclinations of their heart against you. They will not be forgotten by God. He's not turning a blind eye as if it doesn't matter to the pain you have been caused. But as much as we like this idea of justice, it's not just an idea, this reality of justice, we can also shy away from it as well, especially God's perfect justice. Because as we think about this, there's part of us which is rejoicing, but there's another part of us which is finding this really quite uncomfortable. We so easily put to the back of our minds that without Jesus, people are God's enemies who will face God's perfect justice. I so easily put that out of my mind when I think of my sister, who does not believe. Some old uni friends who I've seen in a month's time, who do not believe. You yourself might be here this morning as someone who's not a friend of Jesus. And in fact, as it stands, you are an enemy of God. And God says, that's not a comfortable place to be. Because one day there will be no place to hide. At all. The Apostle Peter puts it like this. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. God's word is at work here. And it leads to the destruction of ungodly people. And as God's people, as people who know God and know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, there should be a sense at this point that we should feel torn. Because we should be longing for that perfect justice. But we should also have broken hearts for God's enemies who, without Jesus, face destruction. And I don't know about you, instead of living with that tension, it's so easy just to want to hide it away. To put it in the back cupboard where I don't have to think about it because it's uncomfortable. And as we hide away from God's justice, one of the weapons that God gives us against fear, is affection removed from the fight. Because we remove away the God's justice, and therefore we're more likely to fear. And therefore, when we hide away God's justice, and we wonder, why am I so scared? Well, we're not remembering that we have a loving and just God. Or to put it more bluntly, why there are parts of my life, parts of my day, where I live in fear. Sorry, that doesn't make sense. Just forget that. Right? Instead, we need to have God's the certain word of the Lord Jesus Christ, perfect justice. We won't need that to take the limelight. We don't need to think about it every moment, every day. Of course we don't. There's lots of things to think about. But the more clear that God has got his hands on this world and not one bit of evil is going to be gotten away with. Not one bit will drive away fear in our lives day by day. And as we long for that perfect justice, as we remember that, it's actually impossible for someone who's a Christian to then not let your gaze fall upon the cross of Christ. Because as we remember God's perfect justice and our brokenness and our sin in our own lives, we just Jesus, you took that for us on yourself. That justice your enemies deserve, Jesus took it upon himself. It means there's hope for God's enemies, because it's possible for them to look at the cross, to look at Jesus. It's possible for our deepest fears, or even that point of when we die, to be driven away as we look at Christ. God's words of justice drive away fear at every level of our being. And then finally, a mighty battle leads to life. I return to Psalm 56 and the end of verse 4. What can mere mortal men do to me? End of verse 11. What can man do to me? What can God's enemies do to God's people? They can do lots, can't they? They can inflict pain, even death. I mean, David knew that. The battle was real. But they couldn't touch David where it matters. Verse 13. For you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. David had found life. The fullness of life as one of God's children. Life that no sword, no sharp tongue, no law or state can touch. Now, the psalmist here doesn't dwell on that theme. It's taken up all over the Bible. So we're not going to dwell on it lots here either. We do that lots of other times in other places. But it's important to recognise that God's words of justice can not only drive away fear, can drive away fear in the midst of life, but they can also drive away fear for eternity if we know and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And without that life, when we focus on God's justice, it's like one criminal who faces a lifetime in prison, wishing another criminal to go down as well. I mean, that criminal, he wants the other criminal to go down, but justice is done, but they're still in prison. Well, here David is not in that prison. He wants forgiveness for others, but he also knows he has got freedom from fear from the Lord himself. The psalmist doesn't divorce life and God's justice, and we shouldn't either. So as we started this talk thinking about fear, particularly fear that is caused by God's enemies, fears that we all face in different and various ways, and they're going to be there. I mean, they didn't suddenly disappear for David. But God this morning wants to drive away the fear of that fear, the scariness, because the battle has been won. God's word has conquered it. And the question for you and me is simple. Will we listen to God? Will we remember his words of justice? Will we reread this psalm and pray over it when fear is crouching at our door? And it will be, probably just even in the next few days, at some level. God wants to free his people from the fear that so often grips us. He really does. And he's shown us how he works to make that reality. If only we would listen to him and let him. Let's pray. Father God, you know what it's like for us to live in this world. I mean, your son knows that uniquely. He came fully man and fully God. He knows the fears that we face. Sometimes daily. Father God, thank you that you understand, but thank you so much more that the evil behind so much of those fears, the enemies that strike us in so many ways, justice will be done. You'll not forget, you'll never forget, unless they find forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that perfect justice, we pray, Father, that so many people that we know who hurt us, who hurt your church, who tear down the name of Jesus. We pray, Father, they'll find justice, but we pray, Father, they'll find justice in Jesus, that they'll turn to him for whatever they do. Father, thank you that we can trust you, that perfect justice is true and real. Help us to hold on to that day by day. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Thank you, Mike.